I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yes, and we're going to help you keep it running. We're live at the Minnesota State Fair. Denny Long here. Dan Burns is in from Lloyd's Automotive. You're not too far away from here, are you? Either Lloyd's or your home.
No, but they're both very close.
Yeah.
This time of day, it's a great time to travel to the fair.
And
come
it
early.
Really is.
Come early and get a good parking spot.
And folks, I'm surprised at the amount of people that are still they're here right now, and they're troopers because they're wearing these little ponchos and bringing their umbrellas as you did. So
well, I went looking for my little poncho, and of course it's in Colorado. It doesn't do me much good here,
no,
does it?
No, but you do have an umbrella.
I need another one.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan has helped us out here on CCO for many years. If you do have any kind of a car care question, you want to talk to this ASE-certified technician, 651-989-9226, or you can send a text like some folks are doing at 81807. I was going to ask you a couple of questions, but we have folks that are waiting in line. So should we get to it?
Sure.
Let me see. Dave is calling from Cambridge. Dave, you're on CCO with Dan. Hello, Dave.
Oh. Say, Dan, I've got a real dilemma. I have my vehicle. I've got a 2007 Ford Elite, Ford Escape in... Ford Edge, and I had an oil leak after having a water pump and timing chain replaced, and the mechanic's been really great about trying to figure it out, but he just can't. We put a second water pump in, and the timing chain was brand new setup in the old engine, and it still leaked after a second water pump. So then he replaced my engine and put the brand new water pump and the timing chain set up into the newer engine. I still have an oil leak. He cannot figure out where the oil is leaking from. He said there's no evidence of a leak, but it definitely leaks. I brought in the cardboard that I've had on my garage floor to show him it's leaking, and I never had that problem prior to the water pump and timing chain put in.
Huh.
You got any ideas?
I do. You know, they make a fluorescent dye that we can put add to the oil and run the vehicle for a period of time, and then we have a black light that we shine on it, and it glows like crazy and makes it very, very easy to eat. It's really hard to see a liquid, especially on a clean engine where the oil has just been changed. You know, the oil nowadays is so clear, it's hard to see it. And but if you add this fluorescent dye and use a black light on it, it shines like crazy, and he'll be able to find that. So he probably has that set up if he would remember, or he has a friend down the street that he could borrow it from, and that's what we do, and it works great. So that's what I would recommend.
All right, thank you.
Good luck, Dave. Thanks for the call. That was a lot of work on that vehicle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't. It's putting an engine in to catch an oil leak. You'd think you'd stumble across it then, too. But at any rate.
All right. There's a line open if you have a car care question by phone, 651-989-9226. Or if you prefer, send us a text, 81807, 81807. Here is a text that came in a bit ago. 1996 Chev K2500, 300,000 miles on it. The transmission pauses reverse to drive. So there's a pause.
Yeah. Well, there would be, wouldn't you? Wouldn't there, after 300,000 miles?
Yes. That's I'd pause, too.
Yeah, that's probably going to be my recommendation, is see what happens. But a couple things that you could do and could try is take the oil pan off and change the fluid and the filter, and see if that helps. But probably what you're going to find is that the seals inside the transmission have just gotten weak after that number of miles, and when you're switching from one gear to the other, of course everything has to flow and pump. The pressures have to build up at another site, and it's just taking a while because the seals are actually leaking a little bit. So but try changing the fluid and filter, see if that helps. If not, then I guess I would just live with it until
Till it goes.
Till it goes, yeah.
All right. 651-989-9226. Dan Burns is in from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul here at our broadcast center at the Minnesota State Fair. 61 at last report with some light rains. Not bad, though. A lot of folks are even closing up their umbrellas at this particular point. Tell you what, let's do this, Dan. Let's take a quick break. Invite more listeners. I know we have more callers calling in. If you want to send Dan a text, 81807. We'll take this break and be right back. Live from the Minnesota State Fair here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back. We're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. Denny Long here. Dan Burns is with me from Lloyd's Automotive. And as I said earlier, you're not that far from here. Lloyd's is located exactly where?
Well, we are on Grand Avenue, which is about 2 miles south of here.
Okay.
Grand between Lexington and Victoria. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. So not too far.
How do we get in touch with you by phone?
You can give us a call. Jim will be there this morning, 651-228-1316. Or you can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net.
And you can find Dan here a lot on Saturday mornings, like today.
Yeah.
And not unusual, we've got callers and texters as well. Let's get back to work here, Dan. Sharon is calling from, see if I can do this myself. Sharon is calling from Hampton. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Say, I have this Ford Escape. It's a 2013 Ford Escape, and the service engine fault comes on, but it's really intermittent, and I've actually taken it to the shop when didn't turn it off. I just drove it right there when it was on, and they hooked it up, and they can't figure out what's going on. I've changed the throttle harness, and that doesn't work. Any other ideas?
Well, if the light has been on, in the computer system should be a code that is stored, and that's the information that they would need to recover to have a direction. And if they're not coming up with any code, even when the light is on, then I think the light is perhaps, that part of the system is perhaps defective. Is that right? You did not get any, or they did not get any information out of the computer as far as a fault code?
Right, they don't. But the, it doesn't really run real well when it is on. Yeah. It's kind of hesitating. And the accelerator, I can't set the speed control, while it's on. Is that still just the light, you think?
No, something's going on. Here's what I recommend that you do is I hate to say this, but you're going to have to give somebody else a shot, somebody with a little bit more sophisticated equipment. In our business, lots of manufacturers offer really, really good but generic scan tool equipment and computerized equipment that we can use on your cars, and that's what people use most of the time. When it gets a little more problematic, then we have more sophisticated equipment. We have it at Lloyd's, and some of the bigger shops have it that would be Ford specific, and that might be what you need to do is get into the more sophisticated equipment where they can get better information, and it's better software that we have available to us, and I think maybe then we'll get the right information, and then they'll zero in and get the problem solved for you.
Yeah. Well, the Ford, I take it to a Ford dealership,
they should sure have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll keep trying. I'm driving it right now, and the light is on, and I just have dealt with it for almost 2 years. I just don't know what else to do, but yeah. Okay.
Well, keep trying.
I guess so. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Good luck with that. Wow, how frustrating.
Yeah, for both sides. When we get a car, we want to be able to fix it, and when we can't get the information, it's really difficult. But I don't know. That's just going to take some persistence because...
there's some information.
I think somebody's not trying hard enough somewhere along the way.
Let's go to Roseville. I think Gene is there with a question for Dan. Gene, you're on CCO, and we're live from the fair.
Hi, good morning. I have a friend with an 03 Chevrolet Sierra pickup, and he uses it as a second vehicle, and the horn will start blowing by itself. It blows very faintly, and it's parked in the garage, and it will shut off by itself. Do you have any idea?
Well, it's one of two things. Either it's the, I think that's a new enough vehicle where it does not have a horn relay. I think probably a, or it might, but at any rate, there would be, two or three things that it could be. One would be the pad itself, you know, that you actually push on. If that's leaking some power through it when it's not supposed to under certain conditions. If it does have a relay, the horn relay could be at fault. And it could be the horn itself. If the horn itself, depending upon how it's wired, if it has power all the time and is supplied with ground, then it could be leaking ground from the wrong source and cause the horn to come on. I don't know where to tell you to start with that, because it could be any of that stuff. If you don't want to bring it in for diagnostics, the easiest thing to do would be to just disconnect the horn itself, and it's easy to find because it honks and you can follow the sound. But if you disconnect the horn and, either try hooking up another one, or we would hook up a test light when it's acting up and see if there is power getting to it. But if you just want to not deal with it anymore, if you find the horn, you could simply disconnect it and leave it that way. Okay. That would solve the problem.
Very good, Gene. Thank you. Let's go to Maple Grove. Steve has been waiting there to ask Dan a question. Steve, you're on CCO.
Thanks, Denny. Dan, good morning. Good morning. I tell everyone who moves into Minnesota, there's a rule that you got to do on a Saturday morning. You get that pot of coffee going by 6 o'clock, and you turn to CCO.
I like the way you think.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
I've been trained. I'm your relative. I'm your second cousin.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, Denny, I got two quick questions. This one's a bizarre one, maybe for some people. I've been putting on 60,000 miles a year for over 25 years, and through South Dakota, there was a construction site in Yankton, detoured everyone through about 5 miles. Got back home after 500 miles of driving and found nothing but tar residue, brown oil residue around my entire white Explorer. Can't get it off. What do you suggest? I do not want to go to a, a detailer shop, because I've got 250,000 miles on the car.
Yeah.
Any ideas of the type of liquid procedure? What can anyone do if you've got that throughout the entire outside of the car?
Well, there's...
Then I have one other quick question.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different products on the shelf if you went to the parts store that would remove them. Some of them are nastier and more effective than others. The nastier they are, of course, the better they work.
Sure.
And the more hazardous they are for you and the environment. But at any rate, if you just pick up one of those and expect a big job.
Oh, yeah.
right when you're done listening to the radio, go spend the morning working at it.
Doesn't 3M make various products?
They do. And
too?
In fact, one of the shortcuts we would take is we use brake parts cleaner. It takes everything. And it works
brake
quickly.
Parts cleaner?
Yeah. The 3M brake parts cleaner works great for taking everything off. But use gloves and mask, because it's hazardous, nasty stuff.
Yep.
But it sure works.
Okay. Or buy a new car.
Yeah,
and the second question, and I'm confused by this, transmission fluid change versus a transmission fluid flush. Can you explain the difference? And if I buy, let's say someone buys a new SUV vehicle, period, how often should you be doing transmission flush or change? Thank you for the explanation.
Thanks, Dan.
Probably never. On the last question is most transmissions now are lifetime fluids, and the manufacturer does not recommend changing them, and I do not either. I always recommend to do what the manufacturer recommends. So that's the answer to that. As far as the difference between a flush and a change, a transmission flush is we hook up a cooler line on your transmission to a machine and run the car. And we exchange all of the fluid, put new fluid in, and take all of the old fluid out. the problem with that system is it does not change the filter, which is inside the pan. A transmission change is just that. It's you take the pan off of the transmission, you put a new filter in, and you then fill it back up with fluid. The problem with that system is you're not changing all the fluid. You're only changing about half of it. So
okay.
Advantages to both, and I don't know which is better. They both have, if you want to really nail it, do them both.
Do them both. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, we have to take a break. Thanks, Steve. We'll be back with more calls and texts. We'll get to the text screen as well when we do come back. We're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In the midst of our car care show, Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. I'm going to get to the text screen here, but Sam, Dan, has been waiting there in Maple Grove to ask you a question. Go ahead, Sam. Dan is listening.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a 2006 Dodge Dakota, and something keeps pulling the charge out of the battery. I've had it into two different shops. Both of them tell me there's nothing drawing down on the battery, but they've replaced the battery. One shop replaced the battery. It's not a car vehicle that I drive every day. It can sit for 2, 3, 4, or 5 days before I drive it, and every time that I've tried to get in and start it, it's dead, and I have to, you know, jump it to get it going. Any ideas?
Yeah, you know, intermittently cars will do that where something is powering up or cycling and they're not catching it at the right time. What we would do is we'd hook up an multimeter and do an amp draw, which is we're measuring how many amps the vehicle's drawing. In a situation like this, we might have to leave it hooked up on the vehicle overnight. And there's a screen we can switch to that shows the minimum that the car is drawing for a period of time and the maximum that the car is drawing for a time. And if overnight the maximum never, you know, goes high enough to be a problem, then we'll know that. However, what we're really looking for is when the car is sitting, nobody's attending it and watching the meter. This is kind of an automatic way for us to test and see if there is a draw that's happening at times. And then if there is, then of course the trick is to catch it. And that just takes time, and that you just need to leave the meter hooked up long enough, you know, all day, all week, whatever it is, and catch it when it's drawing, and then zero in on what circuit is causing the problem. These electrical problems like this can be tricky deals to get after, and you're just going to have to find somebody that's patient enough to stick with it and get to the bottom of it. But I agree with you. If the battery's going dead, something's wrong, because in 4 or 5 days, that should not happen.
All right. Thanks much.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call. You know, Dan, before you leave us here and make way for Jack Farrell, I want to pick up on some text messages here. And I know you're always a proponent of if young people are interested in becoming another Dan Burns and interested in car repair.
Yes.
Technicians.
Somebody better get started pretty soon, because I'm getting old.
I wasn't getting to that. Yeah. But this is a question that says, Dan, any schools in outstate Minnesota that provide your kind of training? And the grandson, his or her grandson, high school junior, looking as a potential career. I'm sure there must be technical schools out there.
There are.
All over the
place. Alexandria, I know, is one for sure. But and I'm sure they're all over the place. But that's what you're looking for, is a technical school. And if he's going to be a junior in high school, have him start now, because a lot of the high schools offer it. It's free. You know, it's a great time to get started in the program. They'll even send you to the college programs oftentimes and get you exposed to it, make sure that it's something that you're interested in. And if it is something that you're interested in and you seem to have an aptitude for it, it's a great career. It's a great opportunity for somebody. So I highly recommend that the kids do start in high school and see what they think of it.
Dave sent a text. It's not a question. He says a 2010 Equinox with 431,000 miles on it, still running along. says, always keep a car serviced by a good mechanic.
There you go. That's the trick, isn't it? That's my line when people say, well, how long will this car keep going? And I said, well, we'll keep it going forever. You just have to decide how much you want to keep spending.
That's right.
Or usually they get too ugly. You know, the rust gets to them and they decide to quit for that reason.
Dan, this is a multi-part text, but let's see if I can piece it together. My 63 Corvette shimmies and shakes at about 57 miles an hour. Steering wheel and, I don't know, the question is maybe the tires. Could it be the tires? Although the tires have lots of rubber on them.
Yeah.
No idea what's causing this. But like you said before, just because tires have lots of rubber, they could be 10 years old.
Well, and most likely it is the tires. A 63 Corvette, I'm sure it sits a lot. And
sure.
They have a tendency to get a little flat spotting happening on them.
Yeah, and so they can't find any steering parts that are worn out either.
Yeah, so first thing I would do is rotate the tires front to rear, see if that helps. But they probably are all out of round. And then I guess my next thing would be if you brought it into a shop, they can put the tires on a spin balancer, and we can watch the tires while we balance them, and we'll see on the balancer if the tire is a problem.
And we had a call from Steve earlier about trying to get that tire off us, that stuff he picked up on his white vehicle. Texter says this, see if I can find it. Tell the caller to use Gojo hand cleaner without pumice.
Oh, that's a good one.
You think?
Don't use the pumice, of course, because that'll scratch the car. But that's a good one, because it certainly takes it off your hands, so it'll probably take it off the car also.
Somebody else suggested linseed oil.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know.
Any petroleum product would get through it.
All right, let's see if we can find one more text here before we go. I think you're probably going to tell them to look in the manual. But does an 08 Merc Milan have a timing chain? And if so, when should it be changed? Would that be in your manual?
Yeah, if it has a timing chain, they don't usually recommend changing those on a mileage interval. If it has a timing belt, they do. And I don't know, without looking that up, which one it has. But
right. But
if it has a timing belt, that will be due for service and it should be changed.
Because you guys at your shop, I mean, you have so many vehicles that come in there. You have all these computers at hand that all the variables.
Well, you know, that's an advantage that we have, is that we're large enough to do the kind of volume to support all of that equipment. And that's a challenge with a smaller shop to have all that, to get into it as deep as we do. But it's, you know, it's what we've been doing. And like all of life, it evolves. And, you know, we just over the years have grown and kept up. And so that's why we're able to do it all.
Now we got another suggestion on removing the tar.
There we go.
I don't know about this. Diesel fuel takes that right off.
It probably does. That's probably true, too. Yeah.
Because it's another petroleum.
Well, and it's a little safer than gasoline because it won't ignite while you're doing it.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Well, Steve's got a couple of things to go on. Now, for those that want to get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's Automotive, you're open today for a while.
We are, yeah. Come on over to 982 Grand Avenue. We'll be there this morning. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
And we will see you, you got a birthday coming up, don't you?
Yeah, not till September.
Okay.
I'm not rushing into it.
Don't remind you.
remind me.
All right, Dan, we'll be talking again next week here from the fair. So
sounds good.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.